Are we eager like Simeon? Again, we don't know how long he was, how long he did. Now, you know something? People in this room, I know many of you, I don't know some of you. I think that temple was full that day. I think that people had, there were people all over that temple. And I think a lot of people saw that little baby and his mother and Joseph and Simeon, and maybe they saw it. You know something? Just because they saw that baby didn't change their lives. Just because they saw that baby there being brought in by his mother and father, and Simeon's reaction to it didn't change a thing for them. It didn't bring God's salvation to them. Maybe that's the same way for you. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here coming. Maybe you've seen a nice thing. Maybe you've heard some things. And maybe you'll go home the same way that you left. I hope not. Because when Simeon saw that baby, he recognized that this was the one that God had promised to him and to the world, and this was God's salvation coming in a human form. You know, the natural eye doesn't save us. It's not with the natural eye. People witnessed that thing, and they saw it, and maybe people wondered what was going on. Maybe people just said, oh, that's nice, bringing a baby, glad they're following the customs. But you know what? There were people that stood around that cross that watched him and that said, crucify him, crucify him. There were others in the temple. And there were others. They didn't see God's salvation in that day. Now we get to Simeon's praise and worship. Simeon was waiting, watching day by day, and he finally gets to this point, and now he's worshiping. Verse 29. He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and a glory of your people Israel. This is why I think Simeon was a solid Bible student and had studied, and he was a devout man, and he knew what he was looking for, because when he opens his voice and heart and praise, he says to God, listen, I've read it, I've seen it, and now I'm looking at it face to face, and here it is, your promise in front of me. And he says to the Lord, he goes, now I can go. Now I can depart in peace. I've seen your promise before me according to your word. Like Paul, he says, I'm finished. I'm finished the race. I've finished it. I'm done. Exactly what you promised for me, God, now I see it, and now I can go according to your word. He knew, like others in the Old Testament and up to that point, that when God spoke to them, his word could be counted on. According to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before all people. You know, in the Old Testament, we can get bogged down reading the prophets and their messages of judgment and condemnation that God brings because they are a sinful people. And we would be deluding ourselves to say, well, if we were in their shoes, we would be a different story. Let me tell you, if I was in the Old Testament, God would be saying the same thing to me. But thankfully, in that message of condemnation and judgment that God speaks out throughout that time, whether it's Isaiah or Jeremiah or others, through that God says, I'm bringing salvation to you myself. And I'm going to bring it, and the Gentiles will see it, and you will be saved by my right hand. Simeon praises God. He says, you have brought light and revelation to the Gentiles and glory of Israel just with this boy. You have brought him to me. And so Simeon cries out in a way, and I'm sure his mother and Joseph, as it says in verse 33, they marveled, and maybe others did as well. You know, Simeon had had that promise, and God had given to him, and whether it was for a year or a dozen years or 50 years, that Simeon had been waited, today was the day. Simeon knew today God has fulfilled his promise. And now his day was done. Now Simeon's life was complete. He says, now I can go. Now you can let me go, Lord. You've kept me alive until this day. You know, Simeon had done it all. He had gotten his bucket list. He had gotten the one thing, and maybe he did wish for it, and God in his grace and mercy had said, you know what? You're going to see this. We don't know. Luke just writes what happened. And maybe my speculation goes a little too far, but I think in the grace of God, maybe God says, you're going to see this, Simeon, and it's going to be written down for you. Simeon had done it all now. He had waited. He had been there. He had blessed God. He had declared his faith. He had borne testimony to everybody around. And I dare say that Simeon didn't just say, you know, let's go over in the corner and keep this quiet. I bet you he proclaimed this to everyone that would hear, that this is the promise that God has given to me and given to all of you. This is the Messiah. Whether it was like the shepherds that did it or anyone else, they did not keep it quiet. But for Simeon now, he told the Lord, he said, listen, I'm done now, Lord. You've kept your promise. I can now go home. Simeon's message was that Christ is here. The promise is fulfilled. I am complete because God brought to pass the promise for me. Now, you know, he doesn't stop there. As his mother and father are marveling, looking around, in verse 33, they marvel at the things. And it's interesting to read that phrase over and over throughout this Christmas time, that his mother, Mary, and Joseph, his earthly father, they listen and hear what God tells them and what they see, and they marvel at the word. And they're no different than we are. They are being brought things that are beyond our comprehension, and they are pondering these things and marveling on them. And Simeon's message doesn't stop in his praise to the Lord. He continues on and he goes to them and he says to Mary, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many may be revealed. You know, the story of the first Christmas is one of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. We love to think it, but it's not just that. We would be shortchanging ourselves if we think that it's just, oh, it's great. It's great. Look at the baby. He's bringing hope to earth. Yes, he's bringing hope to earth in a manner that we cannot imagine. He's bringing hope to earth because he's going to grow and become a man and die for us. He's going to live in a way that no one else should. His coming was so that we could be saved. And while the first Christmas message sounds great, and we don't like to think off in the horizon is that cross, we can see it in the distance, and we think, oh, this is just beautiful. The angels are there, and the message, and the miracles, and look at this. But the message is also one of pain. And it's a solemn message of warning that Simeon says, listen, a sword is going to pierce your heart also, Mary. And the message for Christmas, and maybe you've never heard it, is that Jesus came so that you could be saved. Jesus came so that you could be his child. Jesus came to save you. A wonder and a miracle that it is that he came and how he came. And you can spend your life trying to figure out all the things on how he came and the prophecies and the miracles that brought it down. I mean, Scott did a great job last week talking about how the genealogy of the King of Kings comes through the lineage that it does. But God's message is, I'm coming to save you, whether you deserve it or not. And that's the grace of God. And that's the story of Simeon. And I like to think with a smile on my face as you see it, I like to think in my mind's eye as Luke just puts a period on there that sort of goes away from Simeon after that. That's it. There's 5, 6, 7, 8 verses there about Simeon. But I like to think about Simeon and say, I wonder if Simeon went home, again, tears streaming off his face, whether he was married or not, and told his wife, and went to bed with a huge smile on his face to wake up in heaven. Simeon had received the promise from God. He knew that he was done. He cries out to God. He says, God, you have, according to the promise you have given me, you have fulfilled your word. You've done it. Maybe he went home to close his eyes on earth and open them in heaven. I don't know. So what does this all mean for me? What does this mean for us? Simeon, this is a nice story about Simeon. It's great. It's nice. Luke sort of tricks us because it's all in Luke chapter 2, and we think that it's all part of the Christmas story. As I said, as I tried to trick you all by making you guess what we're speaking about. But what does this have to do with me? This was written 2,000 years ago. What does Simeon have to do with me? Well, so we can look at Simeon's life, and we can look at his legacy and what he did. And even though that this small little snapshot, this cameo appearance, as it were, in Scripture, and see what does it mean for us? What do we longingly look for? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would dare say the one thing, maybe of many, is that we're looking for him to come home, to come back, to come to take us home. And how do we live while we wait? I mean, anybody that have kids, as they're waiting for something, whether it's birthday, Christmas, or other things, we know that we wait in different ways. We either obsess about it, we worry about it, we can't wait for it, we cross off the days, we get antsy about it. You know, and you know, this is the 21st century. I read what goes on in your families. As long as you post it, I know. Listen, it's not just my family. I'm not the only insane one here. But we wait for those things. Like, we can't wait. We want, my little one thinks that she should have her birthday every day. So how do we wait for the greatest thing that we can hope for? In Simeon's life, it was Jesus coming. In ours, as Christians, it's Jesus coming again. How do we wait for that? Well, we can get some examples from Simeon. First of all, we can live and walk in the Spirit. We now have the Spirit of God. And I didn't go through the whole thing about how Simeon had been revealed by the Spirit. And, you know, it's not exactly the same as having the Spirit indwell. That's a Tuesday night Bible study deal. You guys hash that out for a couple hours, figuring that out. But listen, Simeon was a devout man. He spent time in the Word, and he communed with God as best he knew how, and he lived and walked in the Spirit of God. And how do we do that? Well, we live in the power of the Spirit. We live by the guidance of the Spirit, and we let the Spirit of God rule in our lives, not the flesh. And that's the hardest thing in the human life, to not let my flesh control my life. So we live and walk in the Spirit. Second, we rest in the promises of God. Jesus said himself, and I quoted that verse, and it's one of the best verses that as we look forward to this Christmas, we look forward to the culmination of Christmas, when Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's a promise from Jesus himself who came. He's saying, I will come again. Rest in that promise. Live in the Spirit of God and say, I'm looking for that promise. Simeon had the promise fulfilled. We will too. Whether in death, or in the trumpet blast and him calling us home. Simeon lived in a way, and he was promised that he wouldn't die. We don't have that promise. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. And thirdly, how do we live? How do we live like Simeon? We expectantly look for it. We expectantly look for Jesus to come back. And again, this is, it may not be on the top of your bucket list as Christians. Maybe there's other things. Maybe you're working towards evangelizing people and winning souls to Christ. And if you do that, I congratulate you because you're better than I am, because I find myself a little bit more like Jonah and said, see, God, that's what I want you to do to them. Just like you said, you've saved me, but I want you to punish everybody else. So if you have an evangelistic heart, I'm glad for that. That's something I need to work on. But I look forward to that day when Jesus comes back, and I pray and I hope every day that I will hear that trumpet sound, that I will. But if I don't, and I die, I'm still going to be with him. I'm still going to be with him. But maybe he'll come while I'm still alive. Maybe he will. Maybe I'll have Christmas in my life. Maybe I'll have the culmination, the finality, the finish of Christmas in my life. You know what? Christmas is much like, in some ways, the Lord's Supper. And if you are not here at 9:30, I'm not going to say you should be. You should be. But I would invite you to be, because in a way like Simeon, it's a way not only to remember the Lord and what he did like he asked it to, but to look ahead until he comes, to expectantly come saying, maybe today is the day that as we worship the Lord and we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're looking forward to that day when he'll come. I mean, how awesome would it be as we're all sitting around and boom, we're all there. How great would that be to look for him and have him coming there? But you know what? There's 6 other days in a week. Do I live expectantly every day, waking up and saying, maybe today is the day, and letting that drive my life with the Spirit of God giving me power to live? And I say this to myself because you know something? It's something that I need to work on. This is not saying you should do it and I've got it, because I don't. I really, really don't. And maybe you can come to that point and you say, you know what, Lord, I've done it. I've finished the course. I've fought the good fight. I'm ready to go. I'm not there yet. I'm ready for Jesus to come, but I'm not done. The Lord hopefully has a lot to do with me. But you know what, like we said earlier, the message of Jesus Christ is not just one of peace on earth and goodwill toward men and hope. It's one of warning. And it's one of seriousness, and it's one of judgment. Because there is a part of here, even, in this room perhaps, who could say, I don't know Jesus. I've heard about him. I've heard from him. I've heard of others about him. But I don't know him. Maybe I've even seen him in places where I go, like this place. Whether it's from the songs of the kids, or the songs that we sing, or maybe even the message here. But maybe you can't die in peace like Simeon could, because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot die in peace. You will die separated from him. And I just implore you, if you don't know Jesus Christ and you don't recognize who he is and the claims that he has made and the promises that he has given, don't wait till Christmas to say, oh yeah, I'll read about it then. Think about it today. So we can learn from Simeon's legacy. Simeon's legacy was great in this little cameo appearance in the whole story of God's glory and grace to us, this little teeny episode. It's not even an episode. Like, he gets a little part, a little segment there. I bet you Simeon is saying, listen, look what happened to me. It can happen to you as well. Are we expecting the return of Jesus Christ? Are we looking forward to it? Are we just saying, you know what, I'm happy that I'm saved. I'm just going to go through every day, and I'm happy that I'm saved, and that's fine. And I'm just going to keep on going. That's good. But are you looking for Jesus Christ? Are you excited for his return? Are you living for his return? I hope you are, because I am. Because that's the culmination of Christmas. Him's coming back and not coming to be with us, as Emmanuel says, God with us. But it's the finality of Emmanuel. Now you are with me, Jesus says. Finally, you will be with me. And Simeon said, Lord, like you've promised, now I can come home. Maybe you're not going to go home and go to sleep and wake up in heaven. Maybe we have some time on our hands. You don't have time to just let it go by. You don't have time for the message of Jesus just to go by. Because we don't have that promise that Simeon had. We don't know where our lives are. I mean, maybe you have. Maybe you know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, I write things in my calendar. And if you know me very well, I plan and plan and plan for days and weeks and months ahead. It's all in pencil. You know why? I can't guarantee any of it. But I can guarantee that whether I lay down in my bed at night and pass off into eternity, or am I tragically killed stepping off the curb and a bus hits me, or if he calls me home, I will be with him. That I can guarantee. And I hope you will as well. As we come into this Christmas season, you know, and Simeon, like I said, I'm sorry my dates are a little off, you know, but Simeon, it's Luke's fault. It's really Luke's fault. Luke should have made another chapter for Simeon and Anna. But you get my point. Christmas is the coming of Jesus, and Simeon saw that, and we are looking, at least I am, and I hope you are too, we are looking for Jesus coming again. And as John said, even so, come Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the words that you have put down in Scripture, that you showed in his, even in his coming, the little people, the small characters that you gave promises to that were put there that testified for you of your greatness. And Lord, as Simeon saw you as a little baby and testified of your coming, Lord, we look forward to you coming again. We pray that it all happens soon. Lord, as we look around us and we see the mess that we're in, we cry out to you to come fix it or to go home where it'll be fixed. But Lord, most of all, we want to be with you to see you face to face. For you are our Savior, you are the one that loves us, and Lord, we in turn love you in return. Lord, thank you for this day, for the singing of the children and the hearts that they have. May that message and the message that you've given to us through Scripture about your coming to this earth and how it all starts there but doesn't end there, may that burn into our hearts, Lord, as we look forward to your coming again. Lord, please take us home safely. All the announcements that we've talked about are in your will, Lord. Help us to be a part of them. But most of all, to have that relationship with you as Simeon did, as he looked every day longingly for your coming. For we ask this in Jesus' name.